It's obvious God can't say yes to everyone. Sometimes yes isn't right. Am I asking God to do something I'm supposed to do myself? God's saying, sometimes you think you got to know, but you didn't even ask. God cares more about our growth than our comfort.
It's so great to see you. We're so glad that you're here. I'm going to invite you to just go ahead and have a seat. Thanks for braving the... It's like Shanahan just got put in a big slushy machine this morning, and I almost went off the road a few times too, so it's just always great. It's always great. The Bible is clear in Hebrews that the church of God should not forsake each other, should not give up the meeting of themselves. That's what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 10. So I hate yucky weather mornings. There's times where I want to stay in bed, and I know you do too. I hate driving in yucky weather, but something that I love is that when we come to church together and everybody braves it so that we're still here. So I just want to encourage you. You're not the only one here today. Make it count. Don't be here in body and not be here in mind or be here in spirit, but make this morning count. We're glad that you're here this morning to be with us at Southfield. And as we continue in worship, I just want to let you know where we're headed this morning. We started a series last week called When God Says No. No is usually an answer that we don't want to get. And last week, Dennis shared from God's word how no happens. No is a valid answer that God uses to direct us. And this whole series is about learning how to respect God's leadership no matter what his calls are. And as we go into this morning, Dennis is going to kind of unfold and unpack some of the reasons that he may have for saying no when we were hoping for a yes. And does that change him as a God of love and a good father? As we continue in worship this morning, I'd like to just draw our attention as we sing this next song, that he is a God who is greater. Ephesians 3:20 says that he has the ability to do more and to do better than we could ever possibly hope for or ask for or imagine. He's greater than all our expectations. And as we continue to wrestle with this tough topic, I hope that we can go into it with a heart of worship, that he is God no matter how we feel about his leadership or his choices in any given season. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for showing us yourself. Thank you for revealing yourself to us, and you're continually giving us reasons to believe and have faith that we should follow you and always have trust in you, not just in what you say, but because of who you are. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Have a seat. As you do, I want to say congratulations for gutting it out this morning. I know that you heard that slush hitting your window and you thought, what a nice day to stay and sleep in. And what I always say on days like this is, if you had Bears tickets, you wouldn't even question what you were doing. So why do we do it when it comes to God? We shouldn't. I'm glad that you decided to be here today to join us. And if it's your first time, we especially welcome you. We have a gift for you. Back near the coffee, there's a station there that you can get a book by Andy Stanley called How Good Is Good Enough. We'd like you to take one of those, and here's all we ask. Everyone is pulling out their folder this morning right now, and on the inside they find a card. No, you're really doing that. Go ahead. Look, your hands are moving. This is great. And on the inside there's a card that says Southfield card on it. If it's your first time, put as much information on there as you're comfortable. If it's your all the time, I'd like you to at least put your name. I'm going to be asking for you for an assignment later in the sermon that it's going to help me as I prepare for next week. So if you'd at least put your name, that would be really, really helpful. Justin said last week we broke into this series about when God says no. And we looked particularly at the issue that No happens. Even to the best of us. Even people who were prophets and priests, even people who we would consider saints of the Christian religion. I'm telling you what, everyone has received a no at some time from God. We're singing that song, if God is for us, who can stand against us? And sometimes you sing that song and you think, well, I feel like God is standing against me. I'm praying, I'm longing for something, and I'm not getting the answer that I hope for. All I keep hearing is no. It's a tough, tough thing to hear. Some people in the Bible reflected the heartache that they felt when they heard this no. The psalmist writes, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. We have Job crying out, I cry to you, and you do not answer me. I stand, and you merely look at me. And then we have Habakkuk, who couldn't understand why God's people were being attacked by people who were more wicked than they were. He said, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence and you do not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Why do you look on the treacherous and are silent when the wicked swallow up those who are more righteous than they are? We've cried out, God, help me, save me. How long? And yet all we seem to get is a no. I asked you this past week to spend some time with your no. What's the area of your life that you've asked God to move? You've asked God to act. And nothing's happening, or nothing happened. Maybe it's something that was in the past, or something you're going through right now. And you're not getting the answer. And I asked you to wrap your arms around that, because if you will, this series will move out of a time of theory and into a time of reality. It'll move out of a time of just talking about what the Bible says to actually helping us to be able to live changed lives. And so, as much as it hurts, as tough as it is, I want you to embrace your no, to take the time to really ponder it as we work through this week and next week as well. Here's today's lesson. No may not be what we want to hear, but it is what God knows is best for us. What's written on that screen may even be tougher for you than hearing the word no. Knowing that we don't want to hear it, but God knows it's the very best answer. And you're looking at your own no, you're looking at the thing in your life and saying, how in the world could that have been best? As we get going this morning, I want to spend a few minutes talking about the word wisdom and what wisdom is and how wisdom works. Need to define it. Wisdom is more than knowledge. Sometimes people just put knowledge and wisdom in the same category. They're totally different. All of you had the knowledge this morning that it was precipitating. I can't call it rain. I think it's the first time I've seen it slush from the sky. It was slushing out. You saw the slushing going on and you said, it's slushing. Knowledge says rain is wet. Wisdom says get out of the rain. Wisdom says grab an umbrella. Wisdom says put on your little yellow boots. Wisdom says you've got to do something in light of what's happening out here. It's incredible to me that some of the smartest people in the world are some of the worst when it comes to wisdom. I've been watching this with my son's experience at the University of Illinois, a place full of very smart people who do not live wisely at all. Who live in a way that I go, you've got to be kidding me. You think that's right? You think that's good? You think that's the way to arrive at the best possible end? There's a huge difference between knowledge and wisdom, which is the applying of knowledge. Now, why do I bring this up? Well, two reasons. When it comes to know, the first thing we have to understand is, by definition, God is wise. God is wise. Let me give you a classic definition of God and his wisdom. God always chooses the best goals and the best means to those goals. That's what it means when it says God is wise. He always knows the best goals. And he always knows the best way to accomplish them. We may suffer in wisdom in one of two ways. We don't know the best goals, or we've got a great goal, but we have no idea how to accomplish it. God never suffers on either of those fronts. He knows the very best goal, and he knows the very best way to accomplish his goal. That's God's wisdom. We have to embrace the fact that even when we hear no, we know that God is wise. We know that God is wise, that he has the best goals and the best means to accomplish his goals. There's another reason I need to talk about wisdom today, and that's because we need it. We need it when we hear no. I said at the end of last week, I don't want you to just think about your no, but what could the message have been behind the no? What is it God might be saying? That's where wisdom comes in. Where we don't just receive the no, but we say, God, what are you saying to me? What's the message? What am I supposed to understand about you, about myself, about my world, about other people? Not just hearing those two little words, N-O, but God, what is the message you're delivering me behind the no? And so we need wisdom. How do we get wisdom? Well, the Bible says in James 1, pray for it. Ask God for it, and he'll give you wisdom. So that's one way we get it. Another way we get it, time. There aren't very many wise three-year-olds. They just haven't had, they don't have enough mileage on their tires yet. We need mileage on our tires to get wisdom. Here's the sad part. Some people got a lot of mileage on their tires. They're still not wise. It's not a guarantee that you will be wise because of time. But generally, wise people have lived a little bit of life. And there's another thing you'll need, and that is experiences. You see, the first time you walk up to something hot and you touch it and you go, ooh, you go, wow, that was hot. I didn't like that. The second time, you might even be dumb enough to go, well, it's red again. Let's see what happens. Oh, yeah, it's still hot. Number three, you're not going to do it. You're getting wise. You're starting to get to the point that you recognize a pattern. When it's flame, it's hot. I don't touch it. That's what wisdom does. And so you start gaining experiences. You start gaining experiences with no's, and you start to see patterns. You start to get an understanding of the way God is working. So we need wisdom. We need to understand that God is wise, always knows the best goal and the best means to accomplish it. And we need wisdom to be able to understand what's going on behind the message of no. So what I want to walk through this morning, rather quickly, is six reasons God says no. Six categories. All right? And you know what? There are a whole bunch of other ones too. But we're going to work through six right now. And the first one is obvious reasons, which you say, well, then why don't we just skip them if they're so obvious? Well, you got to talk anyway. We got to know what they are. What are the obvious reasons? First one is simple. God can't say yes to everyone. I mean, come on. If half the room is praying for rain and half the room is praying for sunshine, someone's going to lose, right? Someone's not going to get... God had his annual dilemma just 2 weeks ago, Super Bowl dilemma weekend, in which God hears the prayers rising from Pittsburgh. He hears the prayers rising from Green Bay. He hears the prayers rising from Chicago, which he apparently did not listen to. And he said, hey, Green Bay wins. You say, oh, come on, God doesn't really determine the outcomes of sports, does he? I don't know, but I do know that there were a group of people praying for one thing and a group of people praying for another, and God couldn't work it out that everybody got a trophy, because that's not the way the league works, all right? Further, let's take it into a little bit more serious realm. You're going on vacation. You're praying what? God, I hope it's really dreary out. I'd really like some misery. No, you're praying, God, give me sunshine. What's the farmer praying? He's praying for what's best for the crops. Do you see a little bit of a battle going on here, a little bit of a tension? It's obvious God can't say yes to everyone. How about this one in terms of an obvious reason? Sometimes yes isn't right. I'm going to admit to you, there have been times I prayed for things that were not nice. So did David in the Bible. I'm in good company. Sometimes you pray for things to happen to people that in hindsight you go, now that wasn't very nice. God isn't your mob boss. You don't put in a call and he, yeah, sure, I'll knock him off for you, no problem. How much are you going to pay? It's not the way it works. It's an obvious reason. Further obvious reason, am I asking God to do something I'm supposed to do myself? You're praying, God, I'm laying here in bed. If you would just stand me up, Oh, that would be so good. And you're not standing up, God doesn't answer prayer. There are certain things you are supposed to do. And you can pray till you're blue, but God's saying, that's your job. I gave you breath. I gave you a pulse. Gave you everything you need. Now go do it. Those are some of the obvious. Let me get into a second set. We're going to call these parental reasons. I think if you really want to understand the relationship between going on between God and us, understanding the relationship that goes on between a parent and a child will really help you to understand the know a little bit better. Passage in the Bible in the book of James. James chapter 4, beginning verse 2 says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from that. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. All kinds of parental issues going on here, aren't there? First of all, sometimes we don't get an answer because we didn't ask. We think we asked, we moaned, we groaned, we complained, we made it obvious to everyone else that we had a problem, but did you actually talk to God about it? Did you actually pray, or did you just pout? God's saying, sometimes you think you got to know, but you didn't even ask. He goes on further to say, sometimes you ask and your motives are all wrong, and if you're a parent, you get this one. Your kid can ask for the right thing and you're going, ah, right answer, lousy heart, lousy spirit. And in that moment you go, hey, you know what? I can't answer no to this until you make an adjustment right here. Because that's what a good parent does. They don't just give a yes until the heart is in alignment with the right desire. Wrong motives. He goes even further to say, sometimes we ask because we have selfish motives. We only want what will give us pleasure. You see, all of our prayers should ultimately be something like this. God, I want this because you'll be glorified through it. I want this because you'll get what you want. Not because I'll get what I want. It's not like in my prayers I get my moment to be God and demand that he do what I want. It's not about me getting my selfish prayers answered. Here's a tough parental one as well. God cares more about our growth than our comfort. If we're good parents, we should care a lot more about whether or not our kids are growing than whether or not our kids are comfortable. We should have them do tough things. And some of them aren't real hard. When our kids were pretty young, we started making them actually place their order at a restaurant instead of just relying on mommy and daddy, because we didn't want them to be 26 and calling home and saying, I need to do something, I'm so scared. And so we let them start to actually interact with people on the outside, people that weren't in the family club, doing things like that, that weren't necessarily comfortable for our kids at that moment, but it helped them to grow in an area. There are areas that God, you're screaming, God, make me comfortable. And God's saying, hey, do you want to grow or do you want to be comfortable? You can't have both. So which do you truly desire? I think under parental reasons too, sometimes he just lets us stew. Have you ever let your kids stew? Have you ever let your kid just sit on it for a while? You go, wow, what a mean parent. No. What's going on there is you care more about process than product. You care more about what's going on in the process than just the end result. And so you allow your child to learn through the process. God allows us as a good parent to learn through the process. So you have obvious reasons, parental reasons. Let me give you something I'm going to call legal reasons. And don't worry, God doesn't have like a law firm going or something. I couldn't come up with a better term. But this comes down to things that would be a violation. A violation of moral will, a violation of God's will. I'll give you three of them. The first one, God will not contradict his character or being. He's not going to go against who he is. He can't. Let's say you ask God, God, help me to lie well. Help me to be a good liar. God says, well, I am not a liar. I don't condone lying. I forbid lying. I'm not going to help you to be a good liar. God can't become a liar. If God becomes a liar, God ceases to be God. So in a sense, it's a legal reason. It will be a violation of his character. He's not going to say yes to a prayer that's a violation of his character. Further, and this one's tough. He's not going to coerce another person's will. Don't a lot of our prayers involve, God, help this joker over here to wake up. God, do something in this person. Change them. They need to be fixed. Now, aren't you glad that God didn't coerce you into being who you are today? Aren't you glad that God allowed you to work through a process to become who you are today? God is not going to violate free will. He's still going to let a person make a choice, even if it's a bad choice. What we can be praying is God brings circumstances into their life that wake them up. We can be praying for those things, but to simply pray for God to whack someone in the head and change their mind doesn't work that way. He doesn't super zap people. And so we're praying for something he's not going to answer. Another one that goes in this category, sometimes we'll just long for the past to be different. God, I wish you'd change my past. The past is past. It's done. He's not going to time travel and change your past. So we have some of these legal reasons, things that would violate the laws of nature, the laws of God, and he's not going to answer on those particular things. How about wisdom reasons? Wisdom reasons. I would call this category letting God be God. Are we going to just let God be God? If he knows the best goals and the best means to accomplish his goals, are we going to believe in him? Or are we going to say, yeah, but God, you missed something? I can't imagine that. Can you imagine saying to God, God, you missed this detail over here? I don't think you're paying attention to this one quite the way I am. He is God. We need to let God be God. So what are the wisdom reasons? Well, the first one is just plain timing. Sometimes we're not getting a no as much as a delayed yes. It's not time yet. It will be. It will be time, but it's not time yet. Are we willing to trust God enough that his timing is perfect timing? That again, he knows the best goals and the best means to accomplish his goals, and that means not yet. The time has not yet come for that answer. Another timing issue is sometimes that it's not so much not yet, but you're not ready for the answer that you're looking for. You know that with your own kids. You know, your 12-year-old comes to you and says, Dad, I'm ready to drive. I've been practicing in the driveway. I'm ready to drive. And you say, that's nice. You got 4 years. You're not ready. You're not ready legally, and I'm not ready. My heart couldn't bear it. So you're not ready. It's not going to happen yet. Do you know sometimes God delays things in our lives because we're not ready to receive them yet. We're not ready to handle them yet. I think of the children of Israel as they were leaving Egypt. Exodus 13:17 says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. You go, well, come on, really? You're going to make us take the long road? Are you kidding me? Don't you have a GPS? What's your problem? It says, God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. He realized they weren't hardened soldiers yet. They needed some scrimmages before they faced the Philistines. They weren't ready for the yes of God, get me there as fast as possible, okay. God said, no, you're going to go a different way because you're not ready for a yes yet. That's God's wisdom at work. How about this when it comes to wisdom? It's not that a yes would be bad, it's just not best. It's not the best thing that could be happening. I don't know if you're in the same category I am. I look at that property over there on Route 6, and I have a couple of prayers. God, it'd be great if a millionaire would come along and drop some cash out of his pocket. Wouldn't bother me all that much. Every once in a while, one of you will come to me and say, played the lottery last night, and if I win, I'm going to give it to the church, man. Except for the part I need for myself. I'm going to give it. It's going to happen. That, you know, it would be neat if this morning, instead of raining slush, God had rained nickels. It would have hurt our cars, but that's another story. It would have been neat if the money, the cash would fall from the sky. Is it possible that God has greater lessons to teach us than simply giving us everything we want? I mean, isn't that what's happening to a lot of kids these days? The parents give them anything and everything they want, and they haven't learned the hard lessons of the value of a dollar, how to work hard, how to wait and persevere. God cares more about us becoming the people he desires than us having the building we want. So sometimes he says, it's not a bad thing. It's just not the best thing. And remember, if God's wise, God knows what's best. The final one, it kind of goes along the same lines. I want to grow you. I don't want to just give to you. We miss out sometimes on what our relationship with God is all about. God isn't a cosmic vending machine. God isn't someone we run into, put in a prayer, and out comes a prize. That's not what it's about. He's not a trick pony. God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to grow us, not just give us things. He wants to grow us and make us into who he desires. Next category, relational reasons. What are the relational reasons that God might have for not giving us a yes right now? I think the first relational reason comes down to this question. What is prayer? What is prayer? I mean, if you were to define prayer today, what is it? How does it work? For you, is prayer commanding or is it communicating? Is it telling God what you want, giving him your to-do list, or is it communion? Spending time in relationship with him. Is it requesting or is it relationship? Prayer is not all about just placing my order. Prayer is about growing in a relationship. And what happens in a relationship? Sometimes yes, sometimes no, in order that we can grow together. Prayer is about knowing God, not just getting stuff. Again, James 4 says, we're asking, but we're asking with the wrong motives. Sometimes our motive is not, God, I want you to be glorified. It's, God, I want what I want. And God says, well, that's not the reason for which you receive what you want. Here's another one, too, from the Psalms. The psalmist writes, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Sometimes the no comes because God says, this relationship is too broken right now. We need to work on the relationship first. We need to get that right. Final category is the toughest category to me. And I'm going to call these hidden reasons. Hidden reasons. The answers that just don't come, and we'll never know why in this life. You will try and try and try in this life to understand it, but it's only when we're in heaven that we'll finally get it. I've mentioned this before. When I was 14 years old, my best friend got electrocuted and died. And I'll tell you what, for a 14-year-old kid, it was beyond traumatic. It took everything in my brain and scrambled it. It made no sense. And I talked to people. I'm like, why would God do that? Why would God let that happen? Why does someone that's so good, he was a good kid, why would God do that? And actually, I had people in my life that would say things like this. Well, God knew what he was going to be like when he grew up. Maybe he was going to be a bad person, and God was sparing the world of him. Now, I just want to say to you, if you're ever tempted to give someone that advice, I want to give you some advice. Take off your shoe and stuff it in your mouth. It's horrible advice. Here's better. Here's much better reasoning. I don't know. And I'll never get it. It's been 34 years. I still don't know why it had to happen. And I won't know in this life. I won't. Outside of a direct revelation from God, it's not going to make sense to me in this life why it had to happen. Some things are hidden. Maybe you're praying for something and you know God wants it too. You're praying for the salvation of a spouse, of a friend, of a child, and it's not happening and you're going, God, you want this? I want this. What's the holdup? We're praying for the repentance of our nation. Our nation is a moral mess. And we pray for it, and it's as if we hear crickets from heaven. What's going on? Why aren't you moving? We pray for revival and renewal in churches, and nothing happens. God, you want it. I want it. Why isn't it happening? Hidden reasons. We don't know. Let me give you a series of verses that have been helpful to me throughout the years. This one is huge. Deuteronomy 29:29. I'd encourage you to make this one of those that you commit to memory as much as possible. At least the first line. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Some things are mystery and will remain mystery. God doesn't have to tell you everything. He's God. You're not. He doesn't. You know, when you do the whole, I'm the parent, you're the kid, just accept it. God says, I'm the God. You're the creature. I'm the creator. I know. And that's all that matters. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Another verse from the book of Romans chapter 34, really quoting Isaiah chapter 40 verse 13. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who can know enough to give him advice? Can you imagine being in the spot of being God's advisor? We play that role sometimes. God, if you really wanted to get the universe spinning right, you'd do X, Y, or Z. Job 38 to 42. Read the chapters. It's when God finally responds to Job's complaining. Job 38 to 42. You know how he starts? I love this. God says, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you and you must answer. You know what he says? He starts by saying, were you there when I created the world? Were you around? Did you tell me how to get it done? Were you my advisor in all of these things? He says, I'm God. I'm God. Embrace that. How about Ecclesiastes 11? Oh, let's do Isaiah 55. That's a good one too. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, said the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Are you willing to embrace a God that's bigger than you? A God that is huge. Ecclesiastes 11:5. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. And finally, Romans 11. Paul says, oh, how great are God's riches in wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who can give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. Please don't take these verses as resignation. I take them as embracing who God really is. If I have a God that I can fully understand, if I can put every piece of him in every cubbyhole, he ceases to be God. God's bigger. God's greater. God's the creator. I'm the finite creation. And I need to keep that in mind. Two questions along these lines. God, I think, asked you, trust me more than you need an answer. Do you trust me more than you need an answer? Because that's what it's going to come down to, is an issue of trust. And he also, I think, asks us, will you only trust me when you get an answer? Because if you only trust when you get an answer, you don't really have trust. You have an answer. Are we willing to not know the answer to some things? One of the things when I talk about this whole idea of God saying no and reasons, one of the things that I'm grateful for is enough mileage on my tires to look back at times that God answered a prayer with a no. And I now find myself saying, God, I'm so glad you said no. Do you have a few of those prayers in your life by now? Maybe there was someone you wanted to marry so bad and you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And now you look and go, oh, thank you, God, you saved my life. Maybe you had a prayer that you were longing to move somewhere or had something to happen, and you look back now and you say, God, thank you for in that moment saying no instead of just giving in to this stubborn kid who was longing for his own way. Next week, we're going to talk about how do we respond. How do we respond to the no? Again, we've got to get our arms around this one. This is huge. It's one thing to hear, yes, God says no. It's another thing to have some of the ideas of why God says no. But what do we do with the no? How do we respond? How do we make sure that hearing the no and receiving it well actually leads to a better relationship with him instead of a broken relationship with him? And this is where your card comes in. Would you take out your card right now and turn it over to the back side? I need you to help me for next week. The back of your card has a simple starter line. It says, when God says no, I fill in the blank. When you receive a no from God, or maybe you're in the middle of living through a no with God right now, How do you respond? It can be one word answers, like I get angry. I pray harder. That's not one word, that's three words. It could be I give up. Maybe you want to go ahead and write a whole tome there. You only have a little box. But when God has said no to you, how do you respond? What do you do? What's your reaction? You writing those words will help me better to know where to direct the arrow next week. I have my theories because I know what's happened in my life. But it's great when we're able to join together our mutual voices and hear where you're coming from so that we'll be able to address those things as well. So again, next week we dive into how do I respond when I've received the no. Let's pray to God right now. Father, we love you. I thank you so much that you say no. And I don't say that lightly. I really do. I thank you so much that you say no. You know what is best, and you know the best way to accomplish it. And sometimes that means saying no to your kid. And sometimes you tell us why, and sometimes you leave us in the dark. And even that is best. Help us to come into such a trusting relationship with you that when we hear the no, it won't lead to resentment and bitterness and shutting you off. But it'll lead to a sense of a point in our relationship that we'll actually be able to embrace you more and love you more because of any answer you give us, not just because we always get the yes that we wanted to hear. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'd like to echo something that Dennis said, that we don't, we really don't, as we serve each other with this service that starts at, you know, 9 o'clock, when we pick songs and we pick words to challenge you with, we don't take it lightly. When we say that we realize God has said no to you, he said no to us too. And we know that there are some really hard things right now that there, that you may have experienced or might even currently be experiencing. No is never fun. Jesus wasn't always popular, but there was a point where he was, and he was riding into Jerusalem, and they believed every prophecy in the Old Testament of a king that was going to come and save their nation was aimed right at him. And so it was just a good day. It was a day when they were taking off their jackets and throwing it in the street, and they put him on a donkey, and they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means Hosanna in the highest means save us. Please save us. Come, help us, lead us, guide us. And then they killed him a week later, later on that week. That's a really weird no, just totally not on time for people who were looking for help. But as we celebrate and remember communion in a few minutes here, remember this bread and this juice that symbolized Jesus being broken for us. That no was a yes. For you, for me. If we could put God on a leash so that he would say yes at all the right times, would we still want to fall down and worship him still? We're going to celebrate communion. And I hope that in your heart you can sing Hosanna to him. In a little bit we'll join each other in music, and we will sing that word. Hosanna, lead us, save us. And it's not to a leader who asks us first all the time, or even ever. It's to a leader that we can cave into, and 100% of the time, respect and worship and honor because of who he is. Ask our servers to come forward now. Enjoy this quiet moment. Enjoy the sacrifice of our Savior for you.